Hey, babe, welcome to another episode of Breathink. Now, see, you're not going to be able to appreciate this, but we're actually recording this like 2 hours later than normal because I was sitting here waiting on Cole. And
yeah.
So I text Cole. I'm like, hey, Cole, buddy, you coming today? And like,
oh, work. What's
yeah,
that?
Yeah. So, yeah. So
here we are.
Yeah.
Here we are.
Next week, you have to come back to the office. And
I know. It's a good thing. I can't wait for that. That'll be a really good thing.
Ask me about my shirt.
I was going to say, look at that shirt.
Look at that shirt. Guns and Gains.
Gains is spelled the correct way as well.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. No doubt. Wore this shirt for two reasons.
Mm-hmm.
One is
you look good in it.
Three reasons.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah,
because I started my new diet and exercise and no Chick-fil-A and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And it's hard.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what the rest of the world's experiencing in the pandemic. It's not this hard.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe, yeah.
This is harder than anything in the world.
Yeah. Yeah, I believe you. Continue.
I'm kidding. It's a joke. But this shirt's not, because it has three of my favorite things. God.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to God.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
And then I like to shoot guns.
Yep.
I like to hunt. All right.
Yep.
So if that offends you, just fast forward,
yep,
right now.
5 seconds, yeah.
Yeah, just delay and then jump
yeah.
ahead, right?
Yeah.
And because I don't care.
Yep.
And so, although I wore this shirt to Starbucks today to pick up chai for my wife. And, and she didn't like it. She didn't like it.
She didn't like your shirt?
She didn't like my tattoo. She didn't like my shirt. She was just like,
She spit in the chai?
I already had it in hand when she asked me, like, what's your tattoo say? And what's your shirt say?
Yeah.
And then she just like, I could tell underneath her mask.
Yeah.
She's not smiling.
Not smiling. Yeah.
Speaking of, is that Starbucks you're drinking?
It is not, actually. So I'm not a coffee snob like John C. over here. We were just talking about coffee. This is McDonald's coffee. The best of the best. You want to know how much a large McDonald's coffee costs?
Dollar?
$1.
Really?
You want to know how much a large Starbucks cost? Your 401k.
That's a bad thing to talk about right now.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're before everything hit.
Yeah.
That's what it cost.
Yeah. I don't drink,
coffee. No.
Nope. I tried. I was in an airport one time. I'm going to do it. I'm going to drink coffee. So I sent somebody to Starbucks to get me the most candy.
Yeah.
Like sweetest. Like,
yeah.
Whatever, just to make it not taste like coffee.
Uh-huh.
I got like three drinks in, almost pooped my pants.
Oh, yeah. It does do that.
My colon goes.
Yeah. Like, instantly.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. I hated coffee for the longest time. I went to Guatemala and had like coffee like from the source, and that's when everything changed. Of like, this was, it was so incredible. I was like, I'll drink coffee now, which made me like tone it down on pre-workout a little bit. But then when you combine both of them mixed with the Ritalin that I had to take for ADHD, mm-hmm. I was firing on all cylinders for a couple of years.
Pre-workout, speaking of, worked out this morning,
uh-huh.
took a scoop of 121,
yeah,
which is the pre-workout that most people stroke out on.
Yeah,
that my doctor says you probably shouldn't be using that.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, okay, I'm like, I already bought,
I'm fine,
too much,
and I'm still on Concerta. Which is adult Ritalin.
Yeah.
So I'm taking them all.
You sleep well.
I do sleep well
mm-hmm.
at night.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Not during the day, though. No naps for you.
No naps for
no
me.
No naps for you.
Yeah. No, our puppy gets up at 6 no matter what.
Yeah.
But I was already up working out.
Just getting
in
huge.
My basement.
Heck yeah. But your shirt, where'd you get it?
So Build Your Breakthrough. Hey, Build Your Breakthrough. So it's this couple used to live here in Colorado. They moved to Phoenix, and they have this fitness, faith, family, fitness, that's kind of their thing. And they follow us up here still, even though they live in Phoenix.
Yeah.
A bunch of people in Arizona follow us.
Yeah.
But anyway, so he sent me this free shirt. And so I'm doing a shout out.
That's nice.
He sent me a couple of them too.
That's
so
awesome.
And maybe it's our second sponsor.
Could be.
Bundt Cakes.
Bundt Cakes. And then that.
And Build Your Breakthrough.
Yeah.
So I'm going to put a shout out to him. Follow him on Instagram because they have workouts and stuff out there. And they're also the inspiration why I'm trying to do this 12-week eat clean,
mm-hmm.
stuff like that.
It's hard.
It's so hard
because
I'm not smoking my pipe or cigars and that should be easy. But you know what? It's not like it's a nicotine thing for me. You know what it is? What do I do with my hands?
Yeah. Ricky Bobby.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I'm sitting on my porch. I'm trying to dig a pond.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a good time of year to build a pond because you dig down a foot and poof, here comes the water.
Yep.
Yeah. There's no water shortage.
Mm-mm.
So
that's
anyway,
for sure.
So I was digging a hole and then my shoulder started hurting. Mm-hmm. So I went up and I sat on my porch to let it rest. And when I sat on my porch, like the whole sabbatical and everything like that, I sat on my porch and smoked my pipe. And I didn't do that. And I just was like,
I just sit there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's my
so that's why I think people get really fat when they try to stop smoking. They don't know what to do with their hands.
Yeah. Well, I've actually heard that it's like usually you smoke with stuff. I think there was a commercial for it back when it was the huge push to stop smoking, where it's like people didn't know how to drink a cup of coffee because they didn't have their cigarette in their hand or they didn't know how to do whatever they normally do. I think that's a real thing. That's hard. Yeah, whatever.
Yep.
Hey, today we've been kind of on a leadership trek as we've been talking the past couple weeks. And one thing we haven't talked about yet is the like the principles. I don't think there's like a here's the five steps to lead well in the midst of crisis. But like in the midst of crisis, whether you're the leader of an organization, the leader of a team, the leader of a family, the leader of yourself, when crisis hits, a bunch of stuff goes out the window. And what's left is really who you truly are or what you've been building up to this point.
Yeah.
All the fluff, all the like, I don't even know the word that I'm looking for, but like everything that you put out on the outside of like, I've got everything put together. Crisis hits and everything kind of just goes by the wayside. It's like, here's what I actually built. Here's the foundation. Here's what it looks like. Mm-hmm. So for you in the midst of, we'll start at the top level and work our way down. So for you in the midst of a crisis, in the midst of coronavirus or any other crisis that you've been through before that might be like leadership wise, a little bit harder in the midst of that, what as a leader do you look at it as like, here's the things that I used to build up to this point. So that way when crisis hit, everything didn't fall apart.
It's kind of there's a saying when I was a youngster,
yeah,
before you were born.
Yeah, back in the day.
Dance with the one who brung you, right? And mm-hmm. So basically what got you here? Sometimes when all the other stuff, like the trappings, like Flatirons has a lot of trappings because mm-hmm. we're a big church and we have a lot of technology and things like that. But then when a crisis hits, like the family who lost a baby a couple of weeks ago, yeah, right? Then all that goes away and it's just you and me sitting in a room going, okay, let's get to it, yeah, right? So I think there's a part of it going, I really believe, and this is what I'm teaching on this weekend, because a lot of people are going, my marriage, this COVID-19 has ruined my marriage and spending time with my kids has ruined our relationship, stuff like that. And kind of the premise, so this is like a teaser for this weekend is I don't think crisis builds character. I don't.
Yeah.
I think it reveals, right? It reveals it because it strips away everything going, okay, what's really going on? We have to look at it now. And so it's the same thing as like, hey, it's really, really easy to think in an organization, the bigger it gets, to get distracted,
mm-hmm.
you know, with all these different things. And then when crisis hits, it's going, okay, let's get back to our main thing. One is that's all we have time and resources to do now, but it's the most important thing. Like, I've lived in Kentucky for 22 years, right? I remember my friend Greg, he ran Kentucky Fried Chicken,
mm-hmm.
all right, for the world.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Not just
a casual friend.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Louisville, Kentucky is like, that's where like huge corporate headquarters are. Mm-hmm. Like Yum is there, like, which is Pizza Hut and, you know, everything else, Taco Bell, all that kind of stuff. But so he ran Kentucky Fried Chicken. And there for a while, there was this big sweep for everybody to get healthy. And so I remember when Kentucky Fried Chicken came out with lettuce wraps. And it bombed.
Yeah.
Because nobody goes to KFC
for lettuce wraps.
For lettuce wraps. They go there for comfort food, yep, right? For gravy.
Yeah.
Right.
I love KFC.
Oh yeah, yeah. But you don't go there because it's healthy or good for you. It's like Taco Bell, make tacos.
Yep.
Make burritos, right? Don't make, frittatas or mm-hmm. something like that, because it's just not your thing. Chick-fil-A, they make chicken. They don't make hamburgers, mm-hmm. all right? And if they try to get off of that, I promise when crisis hits, they go, throw that all over. Let's get back to our chicken sandwich. Let's get back to our fried chicken, right? And I think that's what crisis reveals, going, whoa, 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 whoa. If we got rid of all that, let's get back to our main thing. And so ideally, you never lost the main thing, but crisis will reveal it. And I think a leader raises his hand and goes, hey, if anything, I think this is revealed is that we were doing a bunch of good things. Is that good to great guy? Everything is good. Everything is good, but only a few people do great stuff, and they just do very, very. And that's true with everything. It's like marriage, right? Or parenting, stuff like that. When something happens, you go, forget all that, right? And I'll even go this far. In the couples that have been on the brink of divorce, the thing that gets them back together is they go way back upstream and go, but remember when we lived in the little apartment?
Mm-hmm.
I remember when we ate ramen noodles, right? Now we're picking out colors for our pool house, right? And we hate each other. But do you remember when I start crying, right?
Yeah.
Remember when you held Booker?
Yeah.
Okay. Nothing. All the stress just kind of went away. I mean, it was an old crap moment too, but it's like, okay.
Right? This is what matters now.
This is what matters now. And I think a good leader is the first one to raise his hand or her hand and go, hey, let's get back to the most important thing.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Because all the other stuff is extra. But if we lose this one thing, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about this today is like, I got two letters this week from emails from people who say, we're leaving the church. we thought about it while Jim was on sabbatical. We thought it'd be different. We got back. Since we got back, it just feels like you guys are Bible light and you're just fluffy. And this past week, I don't even have kids at home. So I was totally relevant to me, you know, and the flesh in me wants to go, you want to be fed? No, you want to be spoon fed and mm-hmm. you're an entitled, spoiled. It's all about me, yep. right? There are so many good churches for you. You should be free.
Yeah, go.
And go, right? And it's like, but I had to look at that and go, hey, who are we? In lead team this morning, I went, hey, we have always been a church that has taught God's word, even mm-hmm. the hard parts, even the parts where people are going, I don't want that to be true. Yeah, me too. If I could find another verse that's different than the Bible, yeah. I would preach that one, right? Yeah. Because it feels like it'd be better. But we've always held on to that. No matter what the future, I don't know what church is going to look like. I don't know when we're going to hold services again, right? It's out above my pay grade, right? Yep. I do know this, that whatever we do, our main thing is trying to say, this is how to think about God. Mm-hmm. And when you think about God that way correctly and then you begin to see how he thinks about you, all the other stuff kind of gets in line. And that's what I'm talking about even with marriage.
Yeah.
You know, the couples that are blowing up right now are looking at each other going, you're not meeting my needs. You're not meeting my expectations. Mm-hmm. You're on my nerves. Stuff like that. It's like, that's because my eyes are fixed on you. If I'm looking at Robin to meet all my hopes, needs, expectations, wants, dreams, right? Then I've basically said, I've put you in a fail.
Yeah. There's right? no way to win in there.
But if I'm looking to Jesus for what I really need and I'm focused on him, then the stuff with Robin is like, it's okay because you don't have to do that for me. Mm-hmm. I don't expect that for you. I'm getting it from God, you know?
Yeah.
And go ahead.
No, so this is turning way different than what I was hoping for. And this is way better. So for the person listening right now, this is way better. So for the person listening right now that goes, hey, like, I don't know how to do that. I don't know how.
Do what part?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
The person, so our goal is like, we teach who God is and we teach how to think about God. And from there, like, your life can take this.
Yeah.
Right. There's a lot of people that are sitting around that are in the midst of this crisis, and they're like, hey, everything else in the world is so bad and it's making my life bad. When really, if we stop and look at it, it's like, oh no, I've got the weak foundation built up. So for the person listening who goes, I don't know how to just stop, refocus, and put everything and every focus point on God, and from there let my life sort it out. For the person who's listening that doesn't know how to do that, for the person that's listening that doesn't know how to stop what they're doing and start doing something completely brand new with it, I don't think there's five steps to get there. But for the person listening that is like, I need to completely refocus and rechange the way that my life is heading right now, and that needs to be the focal point. How do they get there?
Well, I think you're shortchanging people.
Sure.
Because you got to put us in a victim going, I don't know how to do that, right?
Sure.
So I don't believe that. I believe this. I believe the most important part of us is our minds. Because whatever we set our minds upon, mm-hmm. then our bodies follow. All right. So if our minds are set on anything else, then that's where our bodies are going to go. If our minds are set on God and what he's like, then that's where we go. And then it has the fallout of the other. So if you've ever been to one of my weddings, I always look at the groom and the bride and I go, please don't make him the center of your life. Don't make her the center of your life. It makes a wonderful country song. It's a disaster of a marriage. Well, then what should we do? Right. Set your minds. Like, I did this for you, John C. Right.
You did.
Yep. You set your mind on Christ. And then Rachel gets a better husband, because if you're running after Christ, you're becoming the man that he intended you to be, and later the dad, whatever that is. But if you make your kids the center of your life,
crumbles.
Okay, yeah. Because you're running after a false god. It's one of the first commandments. I've made a god out of my kids. I made an idol out of my kids. They're the center of my life. And so, getting back to this is, where do you start? You got to change your mind. You say, well, I don't know a lot about God. Okay. All right, you didn't used to know a lot about the NBA, or you didn't know a lot about college ball, and then you set your mind on it, and now you're going to Vegas, going, I got this, right, yeah. right, or you're looking at the draft or whatever that is, and going, oh, don't get him, or yeah. her, whatever that is, okay, because you set your mind, you made a decision about, I'm going to pursue that, and then your life was formed around what you set your mind on, okay. Our minds are the spiritual part of us that is like God, because it contains our willpower.
Right.
How's that?
That's great.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if I set my mind on God, I'm studying the 23rd Psalm right now. Mm-hmm. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want.
Yeah.
You look around going, I'm in want. Okay. No, you're not. Right. The Lord, that's his Old Testament name. It means all sufficient one, all provider, self-existent one. He's the one that can speak and matter comes into being. Yep. Okay. So if that's my shepherd,
what do I need?
What am I going to go? Oh no. But what about food?
Mm-hmm.
The Lord's your shepherd. Just focus on the shepherd and the food will be there. Now that's like, oh yeah, prove that. No, you prove that.
Yeah.
You set your mind on God and he says, seek first me
mm-hmm.
and I'll take care of the other. So seek me first and I'll take care of your marriage.
Yep.
All right. Because I believe your marriage, point two in my sermon, right?
Yep.
I believe your marriage is the biggest revealer or indicator of your relationship with God. I really do. Because if your relationship with God is on target, a lot of stuff in your marriage is just like, doesn't matter.
Yep.
But if your relationship with God is distant and broken, then everything in your marriage, it's magnified, okay? Yeah. Because you're making this the center of your universe. If God's the center of your universe, all right, Robin and I are going to have some disagreements. Yeah. And I'm going to disappoint her. She's going to let me down. You know, there's going to be frustration. I'm going to ask for something, and she's going to go, nah.
Yep.
All right, right? And if that's the center of my life, I'm going to get passive aggressive. I'm going to get whatever. But if my mind is focused on God and who he is and who he's created and what he wants me to be and who he is, stuff like that, then this is like, okay, it's frustrating, but not nearly as frustrating as if my whole life was getting laid tonight, you know?
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden it's like, well, then your life is over.
For sure.
And then it's time to pay back or get punished, you know, yep. passive aggressive. So you go back to your original question. It starts with, I got to change my mind. I got to set my mind on something better than whatever. I mean, it's the 12-step program.
Yep.
Okay. It's like, hey, there's a divine being bigger than me. And the 12-step program has been so watered down. It was started by a pastor, a mm-hmm. Christian.
Yep.
And it wasn't a higher power. It's God.
Yep.
Okay. And so they, whatever. Okay. But the truth is, Colossians 2:3, set your minds on things above and not on worldly things. If you set your thing on worldly things and your life's about worldly things, and they will always let you down. Yep. Right? Always let you down. I had my mind set on a worldly thing. You know what it was? Leading flat irons.
Yeah.
That's a worldly thing and it's temporary.
Yeah.
And it crumbled. And that if I set my mind on God, right, so I'm reading this book right now and I highly recommend it. It's called Life Without Lack. It's based on the 23rd Psalm by Dallas Willard. Mm-hmm. Life Without Lack, right? And he says, so what's your biggest fear? What is your biggest fear, right? And I throw the same challenge out there. What's your biggest fear right now? Play that all the way out to the worst possible thing.
Yeah.
And it's usually I lost this or someone died and now I'm alone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now what? Where's God? Well, worst case scenario, he's still with me. And where are you? With God.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay. All right. And are you okay? Yeah, eventually. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So play that out for you. What's your biggest fear? And then play that out.
What's my biggest fear?
Yeah, right now.
I don't even say them out loud, right? Because it's like the death of the most important people in my life mm-hmm. or the loss. And I would see or being cut off from the most important people in my life.
Yeah.
Okay. So if that happened, what would I do? I don't know. I do know this is the Lord. Here we go. The Lord is my shepherd and he'll take care of me.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And if I, so weird. Okay. Yesterday I'm up at the cabin and I'm listening to Ben's talk on YouTube. Right. Yeah. And it comes to the end and that last song was awesome.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So good. I put it all together.
Wait, with yeah.
So then I push stop and then I lay my phone down and I'm not kidding. 5 minutes later, my phone starts playing the very first video that I shot at the cabin when I went on sabbatical, telling people I'm on sabbatical
mm-hmm.
and I'm really sorry
mm-hmm.
and I'm really tired. It just started playing. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Cause I didn't do that. Yep. And I don't know if God did it yeah. or maybe I pocket dialed it on. I don't yeah. know, but the timing was I'm sitting at my counter at the cabin and I said, I'm just going to listen to it. And I just played all that through. And there's that one part and I go, most pastors get thrown away. And so coming up in a couple of weeks, Memorial Day weekend is when I got put on sabbatical. If I hadn't been brought back, I'd be a year into not working at Flatirons anymore. And you know what would be true? I'd be okay.
Because mm-hmm.
the Lord is my shepherd, right?
Yeah.
And Rob and I would be okay. And my kids would stick with me, right?
Yeah.
And we wouldn't, I'd probably have to sell a bunch of stuff. And hopefully I still live here in Colorado. But I do know this is that I'd be okay. And you'll be okay. You'll be okay. it won't be easy, and it won't be fun, and it won't be ever be all those things going. Shouldn't, if God is taking care of me, shouldn't there be zero pain and zero conflict and zero sadness? Not this side of heaven, you know, but the Lord is my shepherd. I have to change my mind going, I have God, and God is like this, and he does stuff like this, and he says this is true about me. And that's my life. You know, if I could leave anybody with anything, it's just like, if you just slow down every day, I still go through most days out loud the Sermon on the Mount, mm-hmm. or I don't have a steam room anymore.
Yeah.
And now I've added 23rd Psalm to it. Just read through Psalm 23 really slow. The Lord is my shepherd. The creator of the universe is my caretaker. I shall not want. He makes me lay down in green pastures, right? Because I'm full. All right, they stand up to eat. I'm full. I'm just laying here, right? Leaves me by still water, so he's not going to let me get in over my head, right? I mean, I can push him aside if I want to,
yeah.
Right? He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He leads me. If you just follow him, all right? He restores my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Well, this is the valley of the shadow of death. You better be afraid. No. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me, right?
Mm-hmm.
You prepare a table for me in the presence of mine enemies. Everybody got enemies. Everybody's coming after you, right? But you anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. It's not just like I have a little bit. It's just overflowing.
Yeah.
Surely, I promise, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I will live in the house of the Lord forever. If we just stopped every day and went, okay, before the shit of life hits the fan, the Lord who created the universe is my caretaker, and I don't have to be afraid. And I think that a leader who really believes that becomes a thermostat for his company, for his organization, for his marriage, his or her, please go with that, right? For their children, whatever. Whoa. We don't have to be afraid, right? I don't know if we're going to live in this five-bedroom house here in America, or we're going to end up in this little starter, you know, apartment, you know, wherever that is. But we're going to be okay. Why? Because the Lord's our shepherd. I don't have to be afraid.
That's great. Okay. See you Thursday.